Penguin Random House Audio presents Among the Thugs. This is the author, Bill Buford. Part 1. A station outside of Cardiff. One of the causes of the downfall of Rome was that people, being fed by the state, ceased to have any responsibility for themselves or their children, and consequently became a nation of wasters. They frequented circuses, where paid performers appeared before them in the arena, much as we see the crowds now flocking to look on at paid players playing football. Thousands of boys and young men, pale, narrow-chested, hunched up, miserable specimens, smoking endless cigarettes, numbers of them betting, all of them learning to be hysterical as they groan or cheer in panic unison with their neighbors. The worst sound of all being the hysterical scream of laughter that greets any little trip or fall of a player. One wonders whether this can be the same nation which had gained for itself the reputation of being a stolid, pipe-sucking manhood, unmoved by panic or excitement, and reliable in the tightest of places. Get the lads away from this. Teach them to be manly. R. Baden-Powell, Scouting for Boys, 1908. Some time ago, I came home from Wales by train. The station was a village station just outside Cardiff, and I arrived early. I bought a cup of tea. It was a cold Saturday evening, and only three or four other passengers were on the platform. A man was reading a newspaper, rocking back and forth on his feet. We waited. There was an announcement on the loudspeaker about an unscheduled train. A little later, there was another announcement. The unscheduled train was about to appear, and everyone was to stand 10 feet from the edge of the platform. It was an unusual instruction, and the man with the newspaper raised an eyebrow. Perhaps I thought it was a military train of some kind. A few minutes later, police appeared, emerging from the stairs nearby. The train was a football special, and it had been taken over by supporters. They were from Liverpool, and there were hundreds of them. I had never seen a train with so many people inside, and they were singing in unison, "Liverpool, la-la-la, Liverpool, la-la-la." The words looked really silly now, but they did not sound silly. A minute before, there had been virtual silence, a misty, sleepy Welsh winter evening, and then this song pounded out with increasing ferocity, echoing off the walls of the station. A guard had been injured, and as the train stopped, he was rushed off holding his face. Someone inside was trying to smash a window with a table leg, but the window wouldn't break. A fat man with a red face stumbled out of one of the carriages, and six policemen rushed up to him, wrestled him to the ground, and bent his arm violently behind his back. The police were overreacting. The train was so packed that the fat man had popped out of an open door, but the police were frightened. For that matter, I was frightened. I remember my arms folded stupidly across my chest, as was everyone else on the platform. It was peculiar. I was at a railway station where everyone around me spoke Welsh. I was there to catch a train. Then this sudden display. I thought it had been intended for us, that this violent chant was a way of telling us that they, the supporters, were in the position to do anything they wanted. The train left. It was silent. I got home at 1:30 in the morning, and the country seemed to consist of a long cordon of police. At Paddington Station, 200 officers were waiting to escort everyone from the platform to the underground. I changed trains 4 times. 3 were taken over by supporters. 1 was torn apart. The seats had been ripped out, and the bar, which had been closed beforehand, was broken up, its metal shutter door split into pieces, and drink handed out to anyone who walked past. I did not know what was more surprising, the destructiveness, which was gratuitous and relentless, or that, with so many police, no one seemed able to stop it. It just went on. Hoping to avoid trouble, I sat in a first-class carriage at the very front of one train opposite a man who had paid for his first-class ticket. He was a slim, elegant man with a thin mustache, wearing a woolen suit and expensive, shiny shoes. A civilized sort of fellow reading a civilized sort of book, a hardback novel with a dust jacket. A supporter had been staring at him for a long time. The supporter was drunk. Every now and then he lit a match and threw it at the civilized man's shiny shoes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?